of your people, I will praise your name. For alone you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Let us celebrate your goodness and your steadfast love. May your name be exalted here on earth and in heaven above.
The call to worship is from Luke chapter 1. It's what Zechariah said after his son John was born, after he had been unable to speak for 9 months. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Let's join in a hymn from the hymn book, carol number 421, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
it in the peace of our Lord for sharing. I've chosen this traditional English prayer for us to use today. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise not only with our lips, but in our lives, by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Let's continue now and have our praise and worship time.
Our first song this morning is Open the Eyes of My Heart. Let's stand and sing this together. take a seat? And let's pray together. Lord, we are so thankful that you do open our eyes to your goodness. You open our eyes to the needs of those around us, that we can extend your hand of love and mercy and blessing to those around us. Lord, we thank you that over the course of time and history, you have proven yourself faithful time and time again. So, Lord, we come with grateful and full hearts to give you praise this morning. Amen.
prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, concluding with the Lord's Prayer. Lord, we've just sung of how we long to be near to you, and we thank you for answering the longing of our hearts in coming to us in Jesus. And then in sending the gift of your Spirit upon your followers, that we may know you and have your presence with us always. We're sorry for the times that our lives don't look like we're longing for you, when we get caught up with many other things and distracted or waylaid or go the wrong way. We thank you for your mercy and the many times you have brought us back to yourself during our lives. But it is our desire, O Lord, to be close to you, to be close and near to the throne of your glory, and to be dedicated to doing your will, and offering our lives as a and our days as an offering to you. Lord, we pray for all those in particular need of you today. We thank you for those who, for the situations where people were able to get together with loved ones for celebrating Christmas. And we also remember those who weren't able to do that, or where there were missing people, where there is mourning or sadness or discord. And we ask for your comfort for all, that the reality of what you accomplished in coming to earth for our sakes would be experienced and felt in the lives of all, and especially those in particular need of your comfort and grace. We remember before you those in our thoughts and prayers today. We also remember people going through difficulties because of the weather along the eastern seaboard and elsewhere in the world. We think of people in New Zealand who experienced another relatively minor earthquake. We pray for all those in need, and we just pause in silence to bring our prayers before you. We pray to you, Lord, for all those traveling this during this holiday season, for safety and well-being, whether it be by sea or on the land or in the air. And we pray for one another. Pray that you administer to each one here. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught his disciples to pray in a manner like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Okay. Well, our offerings will be received at this time. Well, Lord, we are grateful for all you have done for us and all you provide for us and for your every mercy and kindness. Help us to be generous with what you have entrusted to us, our love, our mercy, our forgiveness, our energy, our resources, our money, in supporting your work and showing kindness to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture passage today is from Revelation chapter 3. If you have a brown Bible, it's page 1194. If you have a maroon covered Bible, it's page 1467. So Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22, to the church in Laodicea. I'll be focusing on verse 20. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. May God bless this reading from his holy word, that we may learn and profit from it, and may he receive the honor and glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, guide my thoughts and words as I submit myself to you, and guide us as we receive and hear and reflect upon your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be free to work in us, to encourage us, to build us up, to correct us, to bring about change and transformation in us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. This speaks of close relationship and fellowship with the one through whom and for whom the universe was made, with the one who is Lord of the universe. Jesus is seeking entry into the very heart of every life of every human being. Some of us try to keep our life as a Christian separate from other parts of their lives, to compartmentalize our faith. This couldn't be farther from Jesus' intention or more contrary to our own best interests. Christ's very coming as a child demonstrates God's love for us, his desire to have fellowship with us, and his desire to be involved in our lives, to have us know him and him know us. In coming first as a helpless baby, Jesus took the humblest part. There was an irreconciliation, something unresolved between God and humanity. And God had done no wrong. It was humanity that turned away from him. And yet, God took the humble part, desiring to have us back in coming to us in Jesus, his Son, so that we could know him and him us. He humbled himself. setting aside his divine rights and prerogatives in order to become one of us, experiencing life as we do, experiencing the vulnerabilities, joys, and hardships that we experience. In this passage from Revelation, Jesus is pictured not threatening us or deriding us, nor breaking down a door, but knocking at a door. By knocking, he asks us if we will open the door and welcome him in, that he may share a meal with us, be a part of our day-to-day lives, our commonplace activities and experiences. Note that the only conditions that we hear are that we hear and listen to his voice and open the door. We don't have to have it all together first. We won't be without sin in this life. We don't have to be on our best behavior with a place for everything and everything in its place. Jesus asks us only, having heard his voice, to please open the doors of our lives and allow him in. And in him comes, of course, his reign, his love, his grace, his power, his truth, his light, his wisdom. In letting Jesus in, we open our lives to his transforming power and love. The result of Jesus' invitation to us hinges, and I really don't intend the pun there, but I couldn't think of another word. The result of Jesus' invitation to us hinges upon our decision whether or not to open the door to him, the door of our hearts, of our lives. No one but you or I have the authority to open the door of our own lives to Christ. Our parents can't do it for us. Our spouses can't do it for us. Our spiritual leaders can't do it for us. This is an individual choice which God has given us. It's important to note also that the message from Jesus is to a church. He's addressing believers in Laodicea. This implies that having once opened the door to Christ, we can allow circumstances or poor choices to close the door. In all of the letters, he is commending the different churches in the book of Revelation for what they have done, but he is calling them back. He's correcting them because of one thing or another. And we also need that. We need to be aware that we need to have the doors of our lives, so to speak, open to Jesus and be vigilant about it. So though we can allow things to close the door or almost close it, Jesus will, in his mercy, knock once again. The tense used in this passage, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," means that Jesus keeps on knocking. In the original Greek, someone would understand that it means that he will keep on knocking. Isn't that good news? Of course, Jesus knocks on the door of everyone's life, not just believers at different times and in different ways. And he has asked his servants, that's us, to make ourselves available to be his visible flesh and blood representatives, or ambassadors, as Paul calls them, making his appeal through our words and actions, as he also works by his Spirit to awaken people to his presence and work. It is significant, though, that the letters in Revelation are addressed to whole churches. This could lead us to ask ourselves if we have invited and welcomed Jesus into every aspect of our church's life, his church's life and work, into every meeting, endeavor, and ministry, every activity, event, and task. He desires close communion with us individually and as a gathering of his followers, and he is the head of the church. One can think of the day-to-day choices and decisions which we make as opportunities or doors which we may open to Jesus. In making a seemingly simple decision, remember how Adam and Eve chose to disobey God and to exclude him from their lives with terrible consequences. In simple daily decisions, God gives us opportunity, or we have opportunity, to show our love for him, to welcome him into our lives, to comply with his will, and to welcome him to work in and through us. Jesus does not write an open letter to the human race merely, a form letter, a letter to the editor, or put up posters, or make a TV commercial, or, for those who do this, create an event on Facebook. He personally knocks. He personally seeks each one out. Yes, he seeks us through his word, but he will be at work by his Spirit, personally seeking out all the lost sheep and all of his sheep. He wants into our lives that we may be blessed beyond measure and released from selfishness, sin, and evil influences. Having taken our sins upon himself and risen to life and taken his place of authority once again in heaven, he wants to share our cares, bring about good, help us with our problems, heal our hearts, and use us for his glory. You could probably line up and think of doors, possible doors. I thought of a few. Just little ways. I remember when, believe it or not, I can remember 1986, Anne and I and Melinda and Joanna came for Expo 86. And we stayed the longest time at one relative's place where they didn't say grace at meals. And even with our little children, the busyness of every day, you know, tying their shoes and brushing their hair and getting them clean and keeping things in order and all that sort of thing, those three times a day when we all held hands and prayed together, I had no idea how much that meant until we had a week without it. And eventually our host said, "Oh, perhaps you're used to praying. Why don't you pray?" But I didn't want to impose on them, you know. And even grace at meals, what an important thing. A little door to invite the Lord into our time of being nourished and to remind ourselves through the day of our need for him and his reign over us. Of course, prayer and Bible reading before bed or when we get up in the morning or sometime during the day. When we have problems, inviting Jesus into them first, not last. Spouses remembering to pray together. Attending church, you get stars for that today. And offering to serve according to our gifts and abilities. Be willing to let God direct us as we love and serve others. Choosing not to gossip, lie, cheat, steal, hate, compromise. Being careful what we let ourselves look at and listen to. Being concerned for the interests and needs of others, not only our own. But when we're prompted to help others or to speak of our faith and trust in Christ to others, Jesus is knocking, asking us to allow him to use us for his purposes and the blessing of others. And we need to open that door and say yes. Give generously to the Lord's work and to people in need. We have had an invitation from God to welcome him into the very heart of our lives. That was made possible in Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And we return the invitation day by day, thanking him for it and inviting him in. Christmas is a reminder of God's desire to be with us. Jesus' Old Testament, the reference from the Old Testament that he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. It's exactly what he was and is. How amazing is his strikingly humble approach to us in the baby, being born in a stable, being laid in a manger. The fact he came as a human being and not the powerful divinity that he is. One could say that despite humanity's wrongs, Jesus has taken the welcoming, friendly approach toward us. Have you ever been in a situation where you assumed that someone you know wouldn't care to say hello to you? Maybe at a, I don't know what might be, a friend's house, in a store, at a Christmas gathering. I've been in those situations. Figuring that someone wouldn't want to say hello to me or maybe I'm a little embarrassed about something, and I don't really want to speak to them, so I don't say hello to them. Has anybody ever? Okay. Have you ever then had the surprising experience of that person warmly welcoming you and showing sincere interest in you and your life? I have. And I've sometimes ended up feeling very foolish, but also very thankful as well for the grace that was extended to me by that person. And we tend to think that sometimes that God may not be pleased with us because we all sin. We all fall short of the target. We all miss the mark. And so we avoid him. Perhaps we think we need to change some behaviors or attitudes before we have something to do with him again. In this passage of Scripture, though, it's quite clear. Jesus has come to and comes to us, asking only that we let him in, first of all. Just like if company drops in, you have no time to tidy up, vacuum, comb your hair, clean the toilet, or take out the garbage. They just have to see you as you are. And he is willing to take us as we are. Of course, once we allow him deeply into our lives, his love, kindness, holiness, and grace will transform, cleanse, comfort, and heal us. We won't be the same again. How easily we forget this truth. In 1939, at the beginning of the Second World War, the British Ministry of Information produced 25,000 copies of a poster, which was used very little. Don't know why, but it just didn't get distributed very much, but which resurfaced in the year 2000 in a small British bookstore, and the copyright ran out on it. And you'll see it in bookstores and novelty shops, sometimes on the outside of a planner or something like that. The saying was, keep calm and carry on. Keep calm and carry on. That's so much like us, isn't it? When things are going wrong, or when we should be turning to God, we try on our own to keep calm and carry on with our lives without taking adequate time for Jesus to listen for Jesus' knock, or to open the door wide and welcome him in without a knock, to gladly let him in no matter what our circumstances. So as we continue to ponder Jesus' coming through the Christmas holidays and in the coming year, may God grant us grace to hear the Lord knocking daily and to welcome his presence, power, love, mercy, and healing grace into every nook and cranny, every situation, every corner, every part of our lives, that he may work out his perfect will in us, bringing blessing to us and others and continuing to mold and shape us as his servants. Thanks be to God for his great mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's conclude then with singing Shepherds in the Field Abiding, number 409 in the hymn book.
Thank you.
May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of us.